Praise the Lord. So this morning, if you would, turn to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 11. We'll start out there. We aren't going to stay there, but we'll start out there and we'll go through a little bit. So get your fingers ready to roam through scriptures a little bit. But don't forget after service too, and after potluck, we do the baby bottles and we start counting all those things. So if you can help, that'd be great. If you can't, that's okay too. It'll get done and then we'll get that. The money's off to the CareNet Pregnancy Center and help some folks out there. But Mark chapter 11, starting in the first verse, we see this presentation as Jesus is King. This, of course, being Palm Sunday, and we go through and just see the accounts that are here, the things that went on with Jesus as he was there. We're going to see different things. This morning, but just seeing his heart, just seeing where our hearts should be to realize that the King of Kings came, and he came for you and I. He came and he died for us, and this, of course, is the official presentation of him being king. Remember, he's stayed hidden. He's been back and forth. He's still out in public. He's still working the things, but people wanted to make him king, and he said, my time isn't here yet. It isn't time. But this, in this section, is the last week of his life. And you wonder, what would you be doing the last week of your life if you knew? And he knew what was coming. It says, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. He endured those things. He didn't run away from it. He endured it. He stayed in there. And folks, sometimes our lives get hard and we just want to get out. We just want to give up. We just want to surrender. We just want it all to go away. But he went through it with his Father's love, with a heart for you and I, because he knew that if he didn't die for you and I, we would have no hope of heaven. And that's what a responsibility. We think we're responsible for things. He died for the sin of the whole world. We have our little families. We do those things. We take care of our kids. We nurture them. We grow them as much as we can. We give them everything that we can have. We have our animals. We have our houses. We have all of those things, and those are responsibilities. But he was responsible for the sin of the whole world. Just, what a weight to take on. But he had greater grace and mercy than the sin of the whole world could give to him. And he was able to do it. It says here in verse 1 of chapter 11, when they came nigh to Jerusalem unto Bethphage in Bethany at the Mount of Olives, he sendeth forth two of his disciples and said unto them, go your way into the village over against you, and as soon as you be entered into it, you shall find a colt tied whereon never man sat. Loose him and bring him. And if any man say unto you, why do you do this? Say that the Lord has need of him, and straightway he will send them hither. And they went their way and found the colt tied by the door without in a place where the two ways met, and they loosed him. And certain of them that stood there said unto them, what do you, loosing the colt? What are you doing to my donkey, man? Wow. And they said unto them, even as Jesus had commanded, and they let them go. And they brought the colt to Jesus and cast their garments on him, and he sat on him. And many spread their garments in the way, and others cut down branches off the trees and strawed them in the way, the palm trees, the palm branches. That's pretty much where we get Palm Sunday from. And they that went before and they that followed cried, saying, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the kingdom of our father David that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Amazing scripture, amazing an account that we go through. And this is not a fairy tale. This is something that's real. You've got to put it in your hearts and put it in your minds. This is not just something that we read on Palm Sunday and Easter and go through it and forget about it the rest of the year. This is something God did in history. And God did it for you and I. God did it for all of mankind. What a treasure that we have to have an account, to have it become real in our lives. And if you believe it, it should do something to your life. In his purpose in coming, in his purpose in leaving his letter for us, was to make us holy, to make us righteous, to make us his kids. sometimes we just want to take his word and say, well, that's nice. Have a good time. See you later. Goodbye. And not do anything with it. Folks, you got to do something with his word. Either it's going to pierce your heart and pierce your conscience and make this real, or you're just going to go along without reality and think that the world is real. This world is not real. There's not a new source that's real. The only thing that's real is his word and what he said. That's complete truth. There may be partial truths in some of those news accounts and all of that, but this is complete reality. This is complete truth. What are you going to believe? What you think is real, or for what he says is real? Either you believe it totally and you're after him, or you don't believe it. You believe some of it, but you mix in the world with it. And you have the choice. We can't force you to do anything. He can't force you. He won't force you to do anything. He could force you, but he doesn't. He just presents it to you and says, what are you going to do with it? You have a choice. Oh. And we see him come in. Just amazing to me. He tells his disciples, can you imagine? He tells his disciples, hey, go down the road, go into the next town where two streets cross. Go down to 31 in North Wayneport, and there's going to be a donkey and the mom there, and unloose them and bring them. And if they say, what are you doing? Just say, hey, Lord has need of them. I don't care if the police department's right down the road. They aren't going to bother with you. And they do it. That's complete obedience. And God says you must be born again. And that means complete obedience for you and I. Are we born again? If you would, let's go backwards. Go to Matthew. Matthew chapter 21. We'll see the same account. But remember, the Gospels were given for different groups of people to present different things to the people. But they're all one account. And so you put them together, you look at them, and you see what those things that are there. You say, okay, Lord, you're adding this to me. You're adding this to me. You're showing me this. What is it I need to see here this morning? So in chapter 21 of Matthew, as we look at it, it's starting again in verse 1. It says, when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem, were come to Bethphage, under the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples. So we see the same thing going on, saying unto them, go into the village over against you. Straightway you're going to find an ass tied with a colt with her. Loose them and bring them unto me. If any man say unto you that you shall say aught unto you, you shall say the Lord has need of them, and straightway they will send them. I don't know if you're catching it, but this is the second time we've seen it. Jesus already knew where these things were going to be. He knew where the colt was going to be. He already saw it tied up. He already saw the mom with it. He already knew that the guys were going to say, what are you doing with my donkey? And he told them what to say. And we look to the Lord in the same way, or we should be looking to the Lord in the same way. When the Lord tells us something, that we obey it, we do it, because he's going to give us the words to say as we go. You don't have to think of what you need to say. You just trust that he's going to give you the words to say as you go. And if he says something completely outrageous, and we see outrageous things in Scripture, don't we? Of some of the things that the prophets had to go through, the people of God had to go through. And we think we have outrageous things going on in our life. They aren't any more outrageous than the things that were going on in Scripture. But the Lord had need of them to do those things for his purposes and his plans. And as he speaks to you, don't discount that God is talking to you. But you need to know his voice so that you know it's Jesus talking to you. Don't discount what he's saying to you. Just be obedient to do it, but to do it in the right way. Do it in his order, not in your order, not what you think, but what he says. And as you do it, to believe it wholeheartedly that this is what God is going to do. And you know what? I think if the Lord told his disciples when they first came to him, hey, go next door to the pizza shop and just grab 20 sheet pizzas and bring them back. And if the guy says, what are you doing with my pizzas? Just say, Lord has need of them. I don't know if they'd go and do it. But they've been walking with him for 3.5 years. They've learned how to trust him. And folks, that's a learned thing. It's something that we learn, that we trust. not only to learn, but then to obey. And for us, that's the hard part. We'll believe it, but we don't want to obey it. He says, love your husband, love your wife. We believe he says it. The hard thing is doing it. Lord, you don't know my husband. Yes, I do. I raised the bozo up. I gave him life. What do you mean? I don't know him. He already knows where the donkeys are. Don't you think he knows where you are? Don't you think he knows where your heart is this morning? He does. Don't try and fool him because he already knows. Just be in the open with him. Lord, I don't trust you. Lord, I've heard about you all my life, but I'm not being real obedient. I'm not doing what's right. Lord, forgive me and help me to go in the right direction with this. So we see them come, and he ministers them. And in verse 4, it says, all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet. Tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, the king cometh unto thee meek and sitting upon an ass, in a colt, the foal of an ass. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and they brought the ass and the colt, and they put on them their clothes, and they set him thereon. In the other account in Mark, we saw that it was just the colt. But now we see the mom is with him. It isn't that there's a contradiction. It's just what the Lord is showing Matthew to write for the people that were there that was necessary. For Mark, it wasn't that necessary. He says, just write this and just show them the truth of it. He adds these things to us. He makes us search these things out. And again, not so that we doubt him, but so that we can trust him. Because sometimes he'll add things to you that you say, wait a second, Lord. You called me to walk with you, but now you're asking me to do something else? Lord, you're adding to me. I don't know. And it's okay. When he calls you to do something, he's also going to give you the grace to be able to do it. Because he's the God of all grace, and he's able to do that for you. So they went and did it. They brought him to them. They put their clothes before him and on the donkey so that he could sit on them. And a very great multitude. So here's something else that's new. A very great multitude spread their garments in the way, and others cut down branches from the trees and showed them, strawed them in the way. So a very great multitude. There was a lot of people there. Remember, it's the feast. The feast is coming. The Passover feast is coming. And so Jerusalem has swelled from just a few thousand people to well over a million, maybe up to 2 million people in Jerusalem for the Passover feast. Because remember, all the males had to come to the Passover feast. That was one of the three feasts in the year where all the males were demanded or were commanded to come and celebrate the feast. And so they've come. And if the guys are coming, families are coming. Because you aren't leaving mama home. You're bringing her with you. And so all these people come into Jerusalem. There's a very great multitude. Who was there? Was Lazarus there? Was Mary and Martha there? Was Mary Magdalene there? Oh, Lord, I know some of these people. I've read about them. I've gone through some of the same things that they went through. I had some of those demons eating at my life that were eating at Mary Magdalene's life. Lord, I had some of those issues that Lazarus had. Lord, I had doubts like Mary and Martha did. I didn't understand scriptures completely. And yet all these people are there. Some walking with the Lord, some interested in who he was, some knowing very well who he was, others just interested to see this man and see what he was like. And he comes into Jerusalem and proclaims himself to be king. And isn't that what he said to Pilate? Pilate said, they say that you're the king of the Jews, are you? Well, you say so. And what did Pilate write on the board over his cross? He is the king of the Jews. Ooh, the Pharisees got upset with it. And he said, hey, what I've written, I've written. God has his way even with unbelievers to do what he wants them to do. So these multitudes followed him and they cried, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he was coming to Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? And the multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet, the prophet. Hold it right there. Ooh, is Jesus just another prophet to you? Well, he was a prophet. That was part of who he was. He was a priest. In Hebrews, we read that he's the great high priest. He was king. He was prophet, priest, and king. And as you go through scriptures, he's the only man in scripture that was all three, prophet, priest, and king. Some were prophets, some were priests, some were kings. He's the only one that was all three. All part of his nature, all part of his character, but who he was God come in the flesh. And these are just facets of who he was. Do you know him in all of those ways? Or to you, is he just another prophet? And there's religions that teach that Jesus was a created being and he's the brother of Lucifer. Not true. That isn't what your Bibles say. That's why you need to be in your Bibles. Because these religions, these teachings can get a hold of you and grab you because they sound good, they sound wonderful, they sound right, but they're completely wrong. You need to know the truth. And I can't teach you enough to give you all the truth. But what does it say about the Holy Spirit? That he's come to lead you into all truth. That's why you trust the Holy Spirit as you read, as you pick up his word, to give you that truth that you need to have for the moment that you're in. But if you're here this morning and you think Jesus was just a prophet, or he was just a priest, or he was just another man that came, but he was a good man. There's a lot of people that believe he was a good man. But that isn't all he was. They're just seeing a little bit of Jesus, but it's not the complete Jesus. Do you know him completely? Do I know him completely? I'm still learning about him. And I love it. I can't wait to see him. And it's going to be completely different than what my mind thinks he is. But it's going to be awe-inspiring. I'm going to just be awestruck. I'll probably sit there and my chin will be dragging on the pavement on the streets of gold, so it'll be okay, it's clean. But just, this is you. I finally get to see you for who you are. Wouldn't it be great if it came today? Palm Sunday, let's go. Or Resurrection Sunday's good, but let's go before that. Let's not wait till Resurrection Sunday. So there's some that just believed he was a prophet. Isn't that sad? But you know what, folks? You don't get mad at him, and you don't point fingers at him. You know what you do with him? You encourage him to the truth. The church is here to edify, to build up, to encourage. It's not to tear people down and to discourage them. We're here to build them up. That's what Jesus did. That's what he does with you and I, because we are incomplete. We don't know him completely. But he doesn't look at you and say, well, since you don't know me completely, I'm crossing your name out of the book of life. See you later, baby. No, he continues to encourage. He continues to strengthen. He continues to build you up and to give you more understanding. He's a good God. Let's go on. Let's go to the Gospel of John. I know I'm going out of order, but I kind of have a reason. I might find out what it is by the end of the thing, but we'll see. John chapter 12, if you would, as we go to that, as we see this entry of our King into Jerusalem. He comes into the city, and remember, Jerusalem is called the city of the great king. And who's the great king? Jesus. It's not Pilate, it's not Caesar, it's not David, it's not any of the other kings that were there. They were just subservient to our Lord. There's nobody that's bigger than who Jesus is. It says in verse 12 of chapter 12 in the Gospel of John, on the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees, went forth to meet him, and cried, Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. And Jesus, when he had found a young ass that sat thereon, as it is written, he doesn't give the account of the two going to get him. Didn't need to for this group of people that John is writing to. He just writes the account that Jesus, he's talking about Jesus. He's ministering in that way of just showing the people this risen king, this King of Kings that's here. And he says, fear not, in verse 15, daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh, sitting on an ass's colt. We'll get there in a second. But he goes on and he says in verse 16, these things understood not his disciples at the first. The other accounts don't give that. Isn't it amazing that John brings it out? The disciples were still clueless. Do you ever feel like when you're reading the word sometimes that you're clueless? Lord, I don't understand any of this. How do you put all of this together? I don't understand. But you know what? Look at what it says. Let's finish the verse. But when Jesus was glorified, then remembered they that these things were written of him, that they had done these things unto him. They didn't understand all that was going on, and they went through it, and then the Lord brought understanding to them. Folks, if you don't understand something in Scripture, don't think that you're dumb. Don't think that you're stupid. Don't think that you're not saved. You can still be saved and not understand everything that's going on. But just ask the Lord for wisdom. Scripture tells us to do that, right? If you lack wisdom, ask, seek, knock, and the door will be open to you, and he'll give you understanding for it. It may not be right away. It may be years, but he'll give you the understanding that you need to have. You don't have to understand everything. If you can understand God, you've got the wrong God. He's too big for us to understand. In these finite minds, we can't understand all of who God is. We can understand parts of it, but you're never going to understand all of it till we get before him. And then we'll have the mind of Christ. It'll be great to have a great mind. I can remember what I'm supposed to be doing instead of walking from one room to another and then standing there looking at it going, okay, what am I here for? And then you have to go back to the other room that you started in to find out what you were came out to the other room to do. That's how you get your steps in when you're older. I just trying to help you out here. So verse 17 says, the people therefore that were with him when he called Lazarus out of the grave, raised him from the dead, bear record. So there were people there that were there at the grave of Lazarus. So we see some of the folks that were there. Oh, wonder what they were thinking. In verse 18, for this cause the people also met him, for that they heard that he had done this miracle. The Pharisees therefore said among themselves, perceive ye how ye prevail nothing? Behold, the world is gone after him. These people are nuts. They're going after Jesus. They're going after this man. So we see something new here also. Again, the Pharisees were involved. The Pharisees were there. Religious people who had no idea who Jesus was. If there was anybody in that crowd who should have known what was going on, it was the Pharisees. Because they read the scriptures every day and didn't know it was Jesus. Remember when the wise men came at Jesus' birth and they stopped and were in the company of Pilate and Herod and all of those folks and sitting there with them and they said, where's the baby? And they go, baby? What's a baby doing? What are you coming for a baby for? And the religious leader said, well, he's supposed to be born in Bethlehem. Oh, well, that's where we're going then. Did the religious people get up and go? They stayed where they were. The King of Kings coming to the earth, and the people that met him were the shepherds in the field. The angels were rejoicing. The skies were opened. But just the shepherds, no religious people. Folks, your religion is not going to get you to heaven. I know something about Jesus. Well, good. It's not going to get you to heaven. If you don't have a heart change and you're not looking to be more holy, you're not looking to make things right in your life, there is no heaven for you. And I don't mean to be disrespectful. I don't mean to be harsh. But folks, it's an important decision that you need to make. If you don't know Jesus, you need to know Jesus as Lord and Savior for who he is, not for what people say or what you think. You need to know him for what he says in his word. And if you're not obedient to him, you really don't want him. Why would you want to go to heaven if you don't want to be obedient to him now? Why would you want to go somewhere where you're completely obedient all the time? Well, doesn't everybody go to heaven? No, very few. How many were saved in the ark? 8 out of maybe 1 million or 1 billion people that were on the earth at a time. Whoa, few there be that find it, Scripture says. Let's go back to the Gospel of Luke and look at that to see what we have here in Luke chapter 19. And let's start in verse 28. It says, "And when he had thus spoken, he went before ascending up to Jerusalem. And it came to pass that when he was come nigh to Bethphage in Bethany, the mount called the Mount of Olives, that he sent two of his disciples." And again, we remember this from the other accounts, except for John. John didn't put it in, saying, "Go ye into the village over against you, in the which at your entering you shall find a colt tied, which never yet a man sat on. Loose him and bring him hither, and if any man ask you, why do you loose him? Then you shall say unto him, because the Lord has need of him. And they that were sent their way found them even as he had said, and as they were loosing the colt, the owners thereof said unto them, why loose ye the colt? And they said, the Lord has need of him. And they brought him to Jesus, and they cast their garments upon the colt, and they set Jesus thereon. And as they went, they spread their clothes in the way. And when he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen." So we see something new here. They're crying out with a loud voice for all the things that the Lord has done. They're praising and worshiping here, which we hadn't seen in the other scriptures. And you wonder, Lord, is that my heart? Do I praise and worship you for all that you've done in my life, for how you've kept me, for how you've sustained me, for how you've given me real life, for how you've given me this beautiful world to dwell in and to see it with eyes that are supernatural? As I see the colors, as you look at the trees and start seeing some green coming to the trees, and you go, well, there's a scientific explanation for that. My explanation is one word. It's God. It's not evolution. It's not what that has done. It's God. He did it all. He spoke it into existence with everything that's there. Can you grow a blade of grass? If you can, I'd like to see it. God did it. He spoke it into existence. And he said, now go mow it. Week after week after week. And you go, thank you, Lord, that I get to mow the grass again. We can't even do it. And he did it all. Oh, the praise and worship that should be coming from our lives should be more than just on Sunday mornings, should be more than just on Wednesday nights, should be every day, all day. Because if he's given you another minute today, it's a minute that you hadn't deserved, and you should praise him for it. Because we haven't deserved any of this life. And yet he's made it so wonderful. And he's blessed me completely. I get to stand in front of you guys and to see you guys week after week. It is such a blessing for me. And it's not because I deserve it. It's because this is where he's brought me. Thank you, Jesus. I don't deserve any part of this. I'm too old. I should be retired, sitting in my chair, taking my fourth nap of the morning by now. Tom already is. Well, maybe Dave too, but we aren't talking about Dave. Can't talk about Dave. He'll say something. So he goes on in verse 38 and finishes up here, and he says, saying, blessed be the king that comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Wait a second. Time out. Scratch. Did you catch it? Where's the peace? In heaven. What did the angels say when Jesus was born? Peace on earth. What's changing? Jesus is going to heaven. And he's our peace, isn't he? Oh, Lord. And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, look at what they call him. Master? Really? Do they mean it? Folks, you can call Jesus Lord. You can call Jesus King. You can call Jesus Master, but if your heart doesn't believe it, it's not real. The Pharisees didn't believe it. They were just mocking him. Folks, make sure you're not mocking Jesus. He takes it seriously because he wants your heart. Not because he's demanding to be worshipped, not because he's demanding to be king, but he wants you to know him in that way because that's the best thing for your life, is to know him in the right way. And he answered in verse 40 and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, and some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke your disciples from saying these things. And he said, he answered and said unto them, I tell you, if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. The stones of history that were underneath them would cry out that this is our king. This is the one who's made us. Folks, if he can make a donkey talk, he can probably have a stone cry out. The scientists are discovering and have discovered that there's sounds in heaven. The stars are making sounds as they move along. Just like, wow, wonder what that is. I know what it is. They're praising their maker. They're praising the one who put them into existence. He knows all the stars by name. I can't even remember my kids' names. He remembers every single star. In that new telescope they just put up is finding billions of more stars that they never knew were there before, but with this new telescope they can see them. There's new galaxies. There's new universes they never knew existed. But that doesn't mean that Jesus doesn't know their names. Oh, new stars. I got to find another name. He's already got names. And he knows them. That is an amazing thing. And then we come to a sad part. Because you wonder, what was Jesus doing as he was riding in? Was he smiling? Was he excited? Was he rejoicing? You know what? Like Wade said at the start, within 4 days, they were going to be crying out, crucify him. And folks, there's a lot of people that say, yes, I love Jesus. And one day later, they're going to be saying, I curse you, because their hearts are not in it. Folks, he doesn't care about your speech. He cares about your heart. You need to know where your heart is. And he can show you where your heart is if you just ask him. You can either be obedient to him and be walking with him and know him for who he is. Or you can try and fool him and say, Lord, I really love you, and not really mean a word of it. That's why Scripture tells us to examine ourselves, to make sure that we're in the faith, because your eternity counts on that. If you don't have that, you don't have eternity with God in heaven, and that is a sad thing. I want to see you guys with me. I know where I'm going. Jesus tells me. I want to see you all there. I don't want to miss you. And like one guy said, if there's an unbeliever around me when the rapture happens, I'm grabbing him by the shirt and say, hey, you coming or do I drop you? Don't want to do that. Come with us. Come to heaven. Jesus wants you. Verse 41, this is Jesus' heart. This is what's going on in his life and his mind as he's going through this. You would think this would be some kind of exciting thing, but it says, and when he was come near, he beheld the city, and he wept. He wept over the city. Why? It tells us in verse 42, if you had known, even you, at the least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from your eyes, for the day shall come upon you that your enemies shall cast a trench about thee and compass thee round and keep thee in on every side and shall lay thee even with the ground and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave thee in one stone upon another, because you didn't know the time that I was coming. And he had told them through Scripture in prophecies the very day that he was coming, and he fulfilled it to the day. Sir Robert Anderson wrote about this, a great book. If you like numbers and if you like crunching numbers and doing all of those things, then he goes through it scripture by scripture and just points it out and brings it to pass. The very day he comes in. Only God can do that. He worked all of through history to bring it to a very day. And you know what? He's brought your life all through history to a very day for you to know him as Lord and Savior. And he presents himself to you and he says, do you want to know me? And he gives you that opportunity to come to faith. There's going to be no one in hell who can come before Jesus at the end of time at the judgment seat and say, Judge, you weren't fair because you never told me that you were God. It tells us in Romans that even by his creation, we're going to know that there is a God. We just don't want to know him. And maybe you're here this morning. You think he's a prophet, but you don't think he's God. You think he's a good man, but you don't believe that he's God. He's telling you things, but you don't want to obey him because you don't want him to rule over you. Isn't that what the people said in Jerusalem? We don't want this man to rule over us. That's what the world says now, isn't it? The world's in an uproar. We don't want God to rule over us. We know he's coming. We don't want him to rule over us. We don't want him. People are still having trouble with Israel. They're just a witness that God is real. Did you get that, Israel? Sorry, just had to throw that in there. He is real, and he's there. He's still ministering through his witness. Israel's going to be a cup of trembling. This little square footage of Israel is a pain to the whole world. How can that be? Well, go step on a thorn with your bare feet and tell me how your whole body feels about that little pain in your foot. It can happen, and it is happening. It's just a fulfillment of Scripture. Let's go one more place. We're almost there. Maybe about 6 o'clock. Go to Exodus with me, if you would. Exodus. chapter 12, if you would, and we'll finish up there. And thank you for your patience. Thank you for your love. Exodus chapter 12. And you know what's in this chapter? We've gone through Exodus, and you know we go line by line, verse by verse. We've gone through this already. This is the first Passover. What was Jesus going to celebrate with his disciples before he died? Passover. Why is it important? Because it's another fulfillment of Scripture. He says, and the Lord said unto, spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be the beginning of months for you. It's the month of Nisan. It shall be the first month of the year to you. So speak unto all the congregation of Israel, in the 10th day of the month, in this 10th of Nisan, they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it out of the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And you shall take of the blood, and you know the story. They put it on the door, on the lintel, in the doorpost, so that the angel of death would pass over. That's why they call it Passover, because the angel was passing over, because of the blood. The 10th of Nisan. When did Jesus come into Jerusalem? The 10th of Nisan. Oh, it's just before the Passover. And you know what they would do with the lamb? It tells us there. They would make sure that it didn't have any spot or blemish. They would inspect the lamb. And then 4 days later, they would kill it. You think there's a fulfillment going on somewhere? Scripture is so cool. We see the writings of it. We see the end of it. We see the fulfillment of it. Jesus did it to the very day. He let the people inspect him. And they said, there's no spot or blemish in him. What did Pilate say? I find no fault in this man. What was he doing? He was inspecting him. And what do they call Jesus? The Passover lamb. The lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. It tells us in Revelation 13. He had given himself to be slain before mankind was even formed, because he knew what man was going to do. And yet God still loved us enough that he would send a Savior for us. We see the fulfillment of these things. We see the things that were going on to the very day, to the very moment, to the very second. And Jesus, not in a hurry, but knowing the time, completed everything. And sometimes we get in a hurry and we want things done right now. And he says, don't be in such a hurry. Just know me. When it's time, I'll get you there. When it's time, you'll be in the right place. When it's time, the rapture's going to happen. But his time, not our time. I think if we asked for a vote for rapture, everybody's hand would go up, because everybody's sick of this world. I want to go to heaven. I want things perfect. I don't want Dumbos in Washington. I don't want people in Iran winding up nuclear bombs to throw all over the world. I want to get out of here. He knows when to take us. Some of us are going to go on the group plan. Others are going to go on the individual plan. But you know what? If you know Jesus, we're all going to go. Do we know Jesus? He did so much for you. He's loved you with an everlasting love. Do you know that love? Or do you just sense a little bit of that love? Is it just something that you dream about? You know, my granddaughter's 13, going on 123, and a boy asked her out. Hate this kid. No. I'm so glad her mom said no. Thank you, Jesus. It isn't that kind of love. She's just excited. But you know what? We all go through this stuff, and then we realize it doesn't satisfy. If I could only have this job, you get the job, it doesn't satisfy. If I could only have this man, you get him, and you go, oh boy, what was I asking for? We keep looking for things to satisfy. There's only one place you're going to get satisfied, folks, and that's in Jesus. Look to him today. So, Father, as we settle our hearts and as we just sit before you, you've showed us so many things this morning, Lord, of who you are, your nature, your character, the way that you fulfill things, the way that you completely take care of every iota of the word. There's not a jot or a tittle that you haven't taken care of and taken notice of. And Father, you know all about our lives and where we are with you. And Father, I just pray if there's anybody here this morning who doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, that they'd be crying out this morning for salvation, Lord. That they would know that they're a sinner in need of salvation, in need of a Savior, and to know that you're the only Savior of the world. There is none else. May they cry out to you this morning and ask for your salvation, Lord. If we're in a place where we don't really love Jesus the way that we should, if we're not obedient, if we're not walking with you, please speak to our hearts, Lord, so that we can ask for your forgiveness and come before you and let you do that work in us that you want to do. But Lord, please have your way with our lives. We want to be the best children. We want to be the best disciples that we can be. Even your own disciples didn't really understand all of the things that were going on until later on. Father, help us to come quickly to those realizations so that we don't miss anything. Help us to walk with you rightly, Lord. We love you. We thank you. We ask that you just speak to us now as we sit before you, as we pass out communion. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.